This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 5th, 2010. Well, it seemed like an ugly week in the commodity markets, but was it really? We'll ask this and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tom Fritz of EFG in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today by phone rather than in studio because of the poor weather conditions are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Paul Cooley, as we go through the weekly changes in Chicago for the week, we'll see that all that red we felt like was happening didn't really translate into big weekly losses. How do you view this in the broader context of the marketplace?
Well, number one, Todd, the market is very nervous. The farmer is very nervous that he's facing a commodity, particularly in corn, that he still has to market. And prices at the 340 level on the cash market, as we know, is below the cost of production and makes him very nervous. So the corn market and the general lack of enthusiasm in the stock market, crude oil, outside commodities, the world problems, I think, is making everyone in the financial arena nervous.
Wayne, how about you? In broader context, a lot of red throughout the week, but there was some green that settled things out.
Well, I think, as Paul said, there's a lot of nervousness out there. I think a lot of guys are saying it's risk aversion. They're wanting to step aside from being in a risky situation where we would have seen funds or some other commodity money come in here this weekend because of the financial situation with the been referred to this week as the pigs, the different countries that are having some financial problems in the euro dollar, taking it on the ear rather than the dollar for once, and the strength coming back into the dollar has caused us to be that extra money to come in and not want to do things. We didn't see great sell-offs because the farmer's been very tight-fisted and not really moving his corn. He is hoping and wishing for that rally, and that's why we think that a small rally will probably be sold rather than continue on like it might have down the road, because there's a lot of farmers that would like to see some cash flow or move a little corn here, and they're very sick at these levels.
March corn this week had a high of 368 1/4, a low at $3.47 1/2, the settlement price at 351 1/2, a nickel lower in the March. December contract there at 383 1/4, down 3 3/4. Paul, do you agree with Wayne that farmers will be willing sellers on a rally? And the second question beyond that is, should they be a willing seller?
Well, the corn market is in a unique situation in the fact that we are looking at world wheat supplies, that are above expectations, so to speak. And we're also looking at a very large South America corn and soybean crop, and it's going to be a hard commodity to market. A couple things, the Obama administration, the EPA people announced that They basically gave ethanol a plus. They didn't put in enough plus, so to speak, to increase the blend, so to speak, and they also gave an olive branch to the biodiesel industry. The market needs some new demand incentive to get the corn market going. At this present time, we don't see anything other than the price of corn is extremely cheap. The price of crude oil is extremely cheap. And it seems to me that the administration does have to take some very active roles in, you know, getting the economy plus the farm economy moving. And with 10% unemployment, it adds to their problems.
Well, what would Paul Cooley prescribe for the national economy in that case, in particular rural America?
Yeah, good question. And believe it or not, I do have some good comments. I think, number one, I'd increase the blend of ethanol. That would be the first thing I would do. The second thing is, if this we don't see that work immediately, I would probably go into the open market and buy at least 250 to 500 million bushels of corn, put it in a farmer grain reserve, and, you know, do something of this kind of nature to get the farm economy moving. The soybeans, we are looking at a tremendous crop of South American soybeans, and that's going to weigh on prices, I think, in the future. But we do have to take some positive steps, particularly in the corn market, because it is such an important commodity.
Well, you mentioned soybeans, so let's get the numbers in. 934 was the top on the March contract for the week, the low. And remember, we give you composite trade, both the open outcry and the digital trade from the overnight and the day session. Low was $9, high was 934. March settled at 913.5. It was off a half cent. November beans at 903.5 were down 7.75. There is a tremendous crop, Wayne Nelson, awaiting harvest in South America at this point. How much pressure can it really put on the marketplace when it starts to come into the marketplace beyond where we are now?
Well, you know, we've seen some of the demand shift to South America already as the harvest starts, you know, winding up and getting in gear. The one positive thing that we have looking at is the bean ending stocks estimate for the report next week is at 219 versus 245 last month that the government had. So that's a little bit positive. We've got a little bit of the shot in the arm that Paul said about the biodiesel mandate, finally, you know, the government putting it back in place, and that's going to be using. But we also saw lots of comments that said that oil would just become a bigger part of the mixture, you know, it'd have a higher percentage of the value of the bean rather than raise the value of the beans quite as much because of the way that oil is, or the way the meal has been sort of the dog going along. But you know, there could be as much as another 50 cents down in these beans if the South American crop continues to look as good as it is and they are aggressive sellers.
Into the $8 level. I know Paul Cooley told me earlier in the week that there might be an 8 in front of beans. Anything lower than that from either of you, you think? In could we, if we really extend losses, find $7.50, $7.80?
Well, it depends on if the soybean crush margins improve and the China market, and at this time the Chinese seem to have some crush margin problems. And Wayne's right, the Informa people, based on the weather, and the weather seems to be perfect both in Argentina and Brazil, but based on the conditions we're looking at, that the crop's basically a 1.5 billion million bushels bigger than the previous U.S. government estimates. This makes it 31.3 million tons bigger for the South American crop. This is a 1.2 billion bushel increase in the supply of beans or competitive supply in the world than we had a year ago. So this is a big bin buster world supply of soybeans, and it is going to allow, hopefully, the Chinese to continue their demand in the soybean area. But the real problem here is the part of the equation that we don't want to talk about is We do have too many acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat in the U.S. and the world. And as a result of that, we really don't have to bid for beans and corn to plant and spring wheat. What the farmer is going to have to do is optimize his greatest return by losing the least amount of money by planting corn or soybeans or spring wheat.
Well, which one are they going to plant? And which acres, and if you get the choice, which acres, where would you lay fallow? I mean, some of those folks will have acres that sort of come in and out of production and sometimes go into livestock, and that looks like it might be a better going enterprise in the spring than it has certainly recently. What would you do?
Well, the big question there is we both know that it's all going to get planted. And they're always going to take a chance, and we are always, going to be innovative as far as, planting an acre to get some kind of economic return. My general opinion is that under present prices, we will get maybe a half a million to a million acres more soybeans planted than we did a year ago, but we will increase the corn acres, and this is still, an oversupply of both corn and soybeans for next year.
A half million more acres of soybeans, more corn acres. You're talking 1.5, 3 million acres. What do you think?
Well, the average the people that we're looking at is in that 88.5 million acre corn acreage area. And, as far as soybeans are concerned, I think that it wouldn't surprise me if we wouldn't see half a million acres, and the actual number would be, Todd, and I'll be grabbing it here for
you.
You
find that, and Wayne,
it would be 70, somewhere in that 75 million acre area.
Wayne, what do you think on acreage?
I have to agree with Paul, sort of like that. I think it's going to be guided a lot in different areas by what the farmers, how aggressive as sellers they were. We do know that over in Indiana here, around to the different elevator managers that we talked to, that we did see quite aggressive selling of corn when they could get $4 for it just out of the field, and a fair amount of aggressiveness of the $10 beans that they had bought up early, or that the farmers had sold and the elevators had bought. So, and if they went ahead and booked some fertilizer and done some stuff along the way, they're going to stick with what they've got sold and try to do that. We do know that farmers like to plant corn. If they can get out, get it in the ground and do good. And over here, we've been seeing, we had terribly bad conditions this year as far as getting the crop planted, getting the crop harvested, and everything else in the world. And we're still coming up with way above trend line yields. And with these new hybrids that they're going to have, I think that some of them are going to, shoot at the high yields again and try to have that 200-plus bushel corn and have something to do that way. So I think that that's one of the things we'll probably see, the larger increase in corn, just like Paul was projecting.
Yeah, but really, is it really the high yield that they need to be shooting at? Shouldn't they be shooting at high income per acre? And that doesn't necessarily translate into high yield. And I got to think that producers are looking at and saying that, the bag of corn has fast becoming a very, very pricey thing to purchase, and that I might be better off doing something else.
There will be a lot of looking at that. We've had different people at all of the Outlook meetings come up to us and say, I planted this brand or that brand, and I wasn't that much behind. One of my neighbors that paid for the triple stack or everything like that in some areas, the way that has worked well. And I think we're going to see some people that are saying, I might be better to take a smaller yield and not put quite as much investment out there. And I think that will happen more so if the price gets, works on down from here. At these levels, I think there's going to be, a lot of use of the technology. But One of the things we've seen, the phosphate prices jump up dramatically over the last month or so. Potash did take a dip down, and it looks like it'll see an increase here next week. So some of the guys that might need to book in some potash, either for beans or corn, might want to look at locking in some potash values at this point in time, Todd.
A final word from you, Paul.
Bigger 78 million acres of beans, but the big thing I get is you still have to maximize production, and we have to pay for it, and that's where all the bucks are on the table. I get told this every day of the week.
All right. Any final word from you, Wayne?
I think that, we've got the report coming next week. Without any surprises, a good rally needs to be sold.
And Paul?
Have a nice weekend, and we'll hope the Colts play good football.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson. Paul, of course, with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Wayne with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. They stayed home because of the poor weather conditions today. For our Commodity Week program, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. We'll be back shortly when we'll talk with Tom Fritz. He's with EFG in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first week of February was mostly a quiet one across the state of Illinois. There was some snow at the beginning and end of the week, with dry days in between. With cloudy skies much of the week, the day-to-night temperature range was not that large. Temperatures averaged near normal in the northern half of Illinois and as much as 5 degrees below normal in far southern Illinois. Once again, precipitation came at the beginning and end of the week. Some light snow dusted northern Illinois early in the week, leaving up to 2 inches in some locations north of Interstate 80. South of I-80, snowfall amounts quickly tapered off to a trace to nothing into central Illinois. Central and southern Illinois remained dry until late Thursday, when snow associated with a storm system in the southern plains began creeping into the region. This storm brought a wintry end to the first week of February. Wintry weather will be the rule the next week as well. Some light snow is possible again across most of Illinois Monday into early Tuesday. Cold and blustery weather will follow this system, and temperatures will likely remain below normal for the remainder of the week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 5th, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. As we told you up front, we have a bit of a problem with trying to pull very many folks into the phone system here. And since we let them stay home today in their offices so that they didn't have to travel, we'll just talk with Tom Fritz of EFG ourselves this afternoon. He's in his office in Chicago and is on the phone line with us. Hi, Tom. Thanks for being with us on a wintry mix of a day here in the Midwest.
I feel bad for you, Todd, because we don't have any weather up here in Chicago yet, but it's coming.
It's coming, and it's going to get worse here, so we let those folks stay home. We do appreciate you taking the time this afternoon in Chicago, despite the fact that you've got better weather than we do. Hey, can you tell me a quick overview of the feeling in Chicago? And I'd like to talk to you about a whole bunch of things this afternoon, but let's just start with the commodity markets and how they're affected by the outside markets and the way the Dow acted this week, the way crude acted this week, and what happened in Chicago because of those consequences.
Well, Todd, in recent months we've attracted a lot of buying here from outside influences, meaning, the stock market was going up, crude oil was going up, and, it was the name of the game was to buy commodities, and so grains were included with that. And, you know, back in early January, the USDA had different things to say about that. So, you know, we fell out of bed with that. And what's happened since then, now you've got what I call global pressure. It's not so much direct grain fundamentals as it is, I think, liquidation from the spec sector that thought it was a no-brainer to be long commodities.
Well, if they are truly simply liquidating, then won't the market recover to a fundamental level as soon as that liquidation is done?
Oh, I believe it will, but one thing that we have to pay particular attention to, Todd, we've taken a lot of volatility out of the price formula here, and so I think what's going to happen is we're probably going to level off for a while, and I don't think we're far from that level right now, but we're going to level off, and the market's going to move into a you know, more of a sideways pattern, and it's going to put a lot of us to sleep.
Sounds like markets that we've lived through many times before, I suppose. Does that mean that we're on the bottom side of a new plateau? This is what normally happens if we're on the bottom side of the trading range.
I think we're close to that. You know, we've seen a fair amount of end-user pricing in a lot of our markets here. And when end-users are willing to play the game, that means the market, you know, the price is indication. It's we're finding some value here. So in that regard, you know, the end-user pricing, they're adding some support to our marketplace, but the end-users so far feel very comfortable in letting the market come to them. And as long as they don't feel the need to go to the market, we're going to sit here in this price level.
When do you think they'll feel that need? And maybe we could take that up separately in three markets, corn, soybean and wheat, and we can start with corn and maybe talk about out of condition in corn and the amount of corn that's available, whether it's out of condition or not, and when you think the end user might feel a pinch, if he ever would, the rest of this growing or rest of this marketing year.
Well, so far, you know, corn going out of condition is it's a big topic here, but so far it's had very little impact on the market because there is enough number three yellow corn available to satisfy the needs so far. Now, once that is gone, you know, then we think we could see a pinch in here, and I think you're going to have to, you know, we still have 11 million tons of corn to ship under export, and I think that eventually is going to, you know, come to the forefront here, but it's just not here yet. When is it going to come? Right now, my thoughts are probably last half March, early April. We need to create an unknown in the marketplace. And right now, we don't have any unknowns. What happens in late March, early April? Then we get into the planting season. We're going to find out how many acres, you know, that are going to be planted, or at least we're going to get an indication. Then the planting season comes along, and that in turn will create a bit of an unknown. And then you might see prices start to escalate a little bit.
You said number three, but I'm fairly certain you meant to say number two, that there was enough number two yellow corn to meet needs, and that number three would probably be out of condition, or I could be wrong
about
that.
Well, you know, from what I'm hearing, right now exporters, you know, they're clamoring to find quality corn, but in
they're willing
many
to take number three?
We're starting to use number threes, but here's a problem with that. You go over to Eastern Europe, they've got plenty of number two corn available. And so, you know, that's why the price action, sure, it's attracted some new business, but not as much as you would think. So, you know, my big thing is maybe March 1st deliveries will tell the story because in December, the majority of corn that was delivered against the December contract was number three yellow corn. Now, if we see light deliveries, that's going to tell me that your exporters along the Illinois River, they don't want to let go of their number three corn.
Hmm. You know, on the idea that they think that there's so much corn that's going out of condition beyond that, that they'll see a bump in basis?
Well, you know, I think so. I think so. You know, basis has been slowly improving recently, but, you know, that's more due to a lack of movement. And, you know, when people do move, they're out of condition corn. I don't think it impacts the basis that much. In fact, I'm hearing of a few selected locations that are actually paying a premium for quality corn.
Okay, so if we stay as we are, we get the crop planted timely enough. We look like we're having a decent season, and we're at the same level or 1.5 million acres more than we were last year in corn. How do you see the price of old crop and new crop playing out through September?
Well, if we have a good growing season, Todd, I think we're going to be in a, you know, we'll continue to grind lower.
Okay, and then give me something of the same scenario for beans, including, of course, the South American crop.
Well, the South American crop is, you know, we're close to fruition there. And, you know, the big question there is just how big is that crop? And with bean acres, if we left bean acres alone, even though most people think we're going to see 500,000 acres more, beans are going to have a big-time struggle without a weather play. I think beans continue to grind lower, probably down towards the $8 mark.
Any lower than that, or is $8 a bottom?
Well, you know, trying to peg it long-term, let's call it $7.50 to $8.
Will producers put many acres of beans in here if it goes that low?
Oh, I don't think it's going to go that low quite so early.
Oh, okay.
I think they're, you know, I think the trade's going to wait to see just how many acres are we going to plant. You know, are they going to be able to be planted in a timely manner? You know, and then see what type of tricks Mother Nature has for us. And if she's compliant, you'll probably see your move down towards the $8.750 level, probably late June, early July.
So are you price early on new crop and price more than usual?
If we can get a bump up, I'd be a very willing seller. You know, if we could get a 40-50 cent rally in here for whatever the reason, I'd be a very willing seller.
And finally, take up the wheat market for me?
Boy. You know, the wheat market, it's got big-time struggles in here. We've got lots of supply. The world has lots of supply. From what I'm picking up, major exporting nations, I only see one other nation that may trim their acres, you know, to a noticeable amount, and that would be Australia. As far as I can tell, Europe, the Ukraine, the former Soviet Union, there's no loss of acres there. So without some sort of a godsend, in this case Mother Nature, this wheat market is probably going to grind down to you know, close to the $4 mark.
And one final area that our issue that I'd like to take up, the last couple of folks we've had on from Chicago have talked about CFTC regulation. Are you in favor or not in favor of more regulation, and in which areas?
I think you need to see the regulation in the energy markets. I'd also like to see additional transparency. But
you don't want a cap?
In the grain trade, I don't think it's necessary because there's already a cap there. And I do think last fall when the CFTC went to a few hedge funds and said, hey, you're not a commercial. You're hedging money. You're not hedging grain. We're going to take off your hedge status and give you a speculative status. And I think that was 100% correct.
Do you want to cap the specs any closer down than they are already?
No, I think we have sufficient limits in line right now.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go on this wintry Friday afternoon?
Just, you know, play it close to the chest. Markets don't have a lot of spark to them. You know, in the last couple of years when we get oversold, similar to where we are now, you know, you'd expect an appreciable bounce. I think you have to limit that somewhat just due to the lack of volatility that we have here. Get ready for some, you know, relatively grinding-type markets.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Have a good one, Todd. Thank you so much.
And you too. Tom Fritz is with EFG in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on Commodity Week. It was recorded on the fifth day of February 2010. You can always visit us online and listen to the program anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.